Difficult times, when our world is falling apart, when we have more questions than answers, when bad things happen to good people, when evil seems to have gained ground, when the last penny is spent and retirement is decades away, when our retirement savings is gone and you still have many years to live. When your medical coverage has come to an end and you've found no relief. When the doctor says it's terminal. When the fire marshal says it's time to evacuate. When the phone rings in the middle of the night and the news is much worse than you imagined. When life is hard and when there seems to be no light at the end of the tunnel, where do we turn? How can we be thankful when times are tough? Our Bible teaches us that we can trust in God. Psalm 46 reminds us that God is our strength and our refuge. He is our place of safety and security. Everything else will fall away at one time or another. Health, wealth, job, security, family, and friends, they will all go away. But not God. All else may forsake you, but God will not. All else may implode and collapse, but God will not. None of us knows what tomorrow brings. In life, it is only one who is constant, one who is firm, one who is secure. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His promises can be ours today. How can we be thankful in difficult times? We can be thankful only when we recognize that God is our only place of strength and our only place of refuge. He is our only security in all of eternity. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Be thankful every day for who God is. Be thankful every day that God loves you. Be thankful every day for what God has done for you. Alex Haley, the author of Roots, has a picture in his office. It is a picture of a turtle on top of a fence post. And why is that picture in his office? It is there to remind him that he didn't get where he is all by himself. Psalm 100 tells us that we should praise the Lord continuously for what he has done. In fact, it says that we should enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Romans 1:21 sums up a lot about people today. It says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But to their thinking became futile, and foolish their hearts, and they were darkened." Many people are not grateful. They forget where God has brought them from, or they are selfish. Both forgetfulness and selfishness are big mistakes. Gratitude is the opposite of selfishness. A selfish individual says things like, "I deserve what comes to me. I've had to make sacrifices all my life. I've worked hard to get where I am." The grateful individual, on the other hand, realizes that life is a gift from God, and any and all blessings that we receive come from Him. One says, "Thank me," and pats himself on the back, and the other says that everything I have, everything that I am, belongs to God. Everything He has given me, everything He has done for me, is a reason to praise God for His goodness. The psalm has two elements woven in it. One calls for us to praise the God of all of earth. When was the last time you said thank you to the Lord? When was the last time that you reflected in His goodness toward you? And when is the last time that you went to God without an agenda of your own? When is the last time that you went to Him just because you wanted to be with Him? Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. Thankfulness and gratitude is not only acknowledging God when He does great things for you. It is acknowledging God for what He is, the source and the substance of all that is, all that was, and all that ever will be. In His hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before His Lord, the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 5 state, "How good it is to give thanks to you, O Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your loving kindness every morning and your faithfulness every night, with music of stringed instruments and with melody of the harp. You made me glad by your mighty deeds, O Lord. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. How great are your works, O Lord. How deep are your thoughts." And from Ezekiel 36, verses 25 through 36, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And finally, from the Swedenborg, the Lord does indeed require humility, worship, thanksgiving, and many other things from us. This might seem like repayment, so that the Lord's gift do not seem to be free. But the Lord does not require these things for his own sake. Rather, they are required for our sake. If we are humble, we can accept goodness from the Lord, since we have been separated from selfishness and evil things that go with it, which stand in the way of our accepting the Lord's goodness. This is why the Lord desires a state of humility in us for our own sake. Because when we are in this state, the Lord can flow into us with heavenly goodness. The same is true of worship and thanksgiving. This morning I would like to invite you to begin to cultivate an attitude of gratitude toward your life. It's an invitation to cultivate a grateful attitude as the very foundation of your being. Gratefulness is one of the most powerful forces in the world. It makes the difference between just going through the motions and really being alive. Gratefulness is the difference between having a heart of stone and receiving a heart of flesh from the Lord. The 20th century Protestant theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that it is only through gratitude that life becomes rich. The Quran says that if you count God's blessings, you will not be able to number them. And there is a Jewish proverb that says, we will never know all that we should be grateful to God for. Gratefulness is an extraordinarily powerful thing. Thomas Merton, in his book No Man is an Island, said that people that are ungrateful admit that they do not know God. He goes on to say that if we are not aware of our gratitude, we don't really know who we ourselves are, and we are not in touch with our life and what it means to be alive and to truly be. To be grateful is to recognize, to acknowledge, and to accept that we are recipient of a great gift. The most basic gift is life itself. Each one of us, our lives are given, is a gift given to us. Emanuel Swedenborg was very clear in his book, Divine Love and Wisdom, that we ourselves are not life, but rather we are the recipients of life, the receptacles of life, the vessels of life, cups into which life is poured. Life itself is holy. Life itself is divine. He also says that there are much more open our hearts, the more open that we are to receive this divine influx of life. One of the most powerful ways to open our hearts, to allow God to remove our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, is to get in touch with our thankfulness, our gratitude. And sometimes this is very easy. When things are going just the way we want them to go, or when something surprises us in a most unexpected and delightful way, it feels spontaneous. Gratitude wells up in us, and we are filled with joy. But in other times, every now and again, expressing gratitude is a little more difficult. The Benedictine monk, Brother David Stindl Rast, has delineated three steps that can help us bring us into a state of gratitude. These steps happen spontaneously when things are going well, but at other times they are helped by our conscious effort. The three steps rely upon our work with our intellect, our will, and our emotions. three of the mental tools that we talk about in our class today in spiritual psychology. The first step calls upon our intellect. In order to feel grateful, we need to recognize the gift. Sometimes recognizing the gift is very easy, and sometimes it's very difficult. In order to recognize a gift, we need to wake up. We need to take notice. We need to be aware. And we need to see and say, ah, a gift. God has planted, sprinkled, and placed gifts unaccountable every moment in our intellect. It needs to be recognized as gifts. The second step toward gratitude calls upon our will. We need to acknowledge the gift. First, we need to recognize the gift, and then to acknowledge it. We need to say, oh, I know you. You're a gift. Acknowledging a gift means that we are acknowledging something outside of ourselves, because a gift does not come from our own little being. Acknowledging a gift is actually very powerful, because when we acknowledge a gift, we are letting something outside of the little self come in. We are allowing ourselves to be touched and to be moved. There is a tendency in all human beings, especially in Americans, to think that we are self-sufficient, that we are independent, and that we don't need the help of other people. Being able to acknowledge a gift is stepping out of a false sense of utter self-reliance. It is stepping out of our fortress of isolation. When we are able to do this with our will, we are able to connect and form a common unity, and we begin to step into intimacy. And the third step we take in order to experience gratitude requires our emotions. We need to accept the gift with a whole heart, with a happy heart. We need to say yes exuberantly. It's like someone saying, dance with me, and we accept with a whole heart. And in saying yes, I will step out into this crazy, wild, chaotic, and confusing world, sometimes stressing the dance of life. The only way to say yes and accept the gift is with open arms. We can't accept a gift with our arms folded across our chest. We can only accept the gift with our arms wide open. Yet we all know what's scary about holding our arms wide open. Do you remember when you were in high school and you were at one of those dances where the boys were on one side, girls were on the other side? And from across the room, it looked like someone was looking at you with a smile on their face and an impression that they were thinking about asking you to dance with them. And in your mind, without a hesitation, you said yes. And then that person walked toward you, thinking that we're going to get a dance, and the whole while they're staring at the person behind us. And we feel a little crushed, a little humiliated, and a little embarrassed. But we were open. We were receptive. Being careful does not protect us from rejection or pain or sorrow. It doesn't protect us from any of that. But if we are able to incorporate gratitude into our basic attitude toward life and make it a part of the foundation of our being, it gives us another way of responding to what is taking place. When those painful or sad feelings are happening, they are not all that is happening. Counting our blessings does not mean that we no longer feel grief or that we are no longer confused or sorrowful. It means that we are feeling all of that, and we are also feeling a sense of warmth and peace and connection. In the example where we were mistakenly thinking that we're being asked to dance, how can we find gratitude in that moment? Well, we can be grateful that we realize that we actually wanted to dance. And then we can go out and discover ways to bring dancing into our lives. Let me share with you an example from my own life of turning an experience around that gives you three suggestions on how to practice gratitude. Last Thursday, I had three errands to run at different places around Annandale and Springfield where I live. I went out for the first place, and I couldn't find a place to park my car. And any of you that know me know that not being able to park my car, driving in traffic, two of the things that just aggravate me the most. It was frustrating, to say the very least. I looked and I looked, and I finally gave up on completing the first errand, and I just headed off to do the second one. And do you believe it? There was no place to park at the second place either. It's not a good day. Because my time was limited, I finally stopped and I parked in a loading zone, and I ran in and out, and then I went on to the next errand. But by this point, I was frustrated, and I was talking to myself in the car. And I was saying, what in the world's going on around here? You can't even run a simple errand or find a parking spot in a shopping center near where you live. It's really crazy. It's ridiculous. And where did all the cars come from? And why aren't these people working? And as I was talking to myself, I realized that I had picked up a pretty self-righteous sense of entitlement. And then it must have been because I was working on this lesson that a little thought came into my head. Oh my God, I'm alive. It's a beautiful day. It's not Boston and it's not snowing. I live in a beautiful area and everything I need is conveniently located. And no, I may not have been able to find a parking space that was convenient, but I have two legs and I can walk. I realized that my false sense of entitlement was doing something to me. I realized how it was making me frustrated and angry and self-important. And then I let go of it and I realized that this was a gift. I acknowledged the gift, I accepted, and I welcomed it. And then I saw another gift and another gift and another gift, and I saw that my gifts were countless. I practically forgot what errand I was doing, and I felt a rush of appreciation for all of my life. And then when I got an extra bonus, because I realized that I could use this example in the lesson today, and that truly is a gift. There are countless ways to incorporate these steps of gratitude into your daily lives, but here are three little quick ones. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We can say this to ourselves each day when we wake up. It's a wonderful way to start the day and invite gratitude in. The second way, we can say a word of thanks before every meal, either by ourselves or with family members and friends. And we can ask ourselves and each person to mention one thing that we are grateful for that day. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be very unprofound, very mundane. All expressions of gratitude and praise are acceptable and pleasing to God. And finally, throughout the day, if we find ourselves getting irritated, frustrated, upset, angry, we can take it upon ourselves as a challenge to find gold in the moment and in the experience. This doesn't mean that we have to be grateful that things are not going the way we want them to. We don't have to be grateful that we can't find a parking space or that we can't find a job, but we can still find gratitude in the experience. So let me tell you about Sarah. I taught spiritual psychology to Sarah through a correspondence course at the Divine Science School. She's an American woman living in Italy with her Italian husband and three handsome sons. At the end of our class sessions, Sarah and I agreed to keep in touch. In early September, since I hadn't heard from her, I sent her an email letting her know how much I missed her and that I was keeping her in my thoughts and my prayers. On January 22nd of this year, I finally received a response to the note that I sent in September. And this is what Sarah said. Dear Donna, when your letter arrived, I was so thrilled. You will not believe the blessing it has been. I have been on a healing journey, and when your letter arrived, I had just been diagnosed with breast cancer. Since then, I have done magnificently, and you will have no idea what good has come from the cancer. The thing that I thought was a malignancy has been such a blessing, and it has given me more insight than so many other things that I have pursued. I am so grateful for all the good that has come from this healing journey. I would have written sooner, but I had so many things to organize and tests and other hospital stuff. I got through it, not always dry-eyed, not always calm or serene. The joy came in the morning, and it was so wonderful. I am still doctoring, but I am grateful for every breath, for every morning, for every cup of coffee, for every friend, for every friendship. You were with me as I thought of all the positive relationships in my life. I learned to say no to the negative relationships, and some were not satisfied, and there were even some harsh words, but it was good. You really learn the true colors of people around you when you are in a challenge. And so altogether, I have to say that even if it was difficult, it was worth it. I am so glad this happened to me, for I was in need of a wake-up call. I am doing much better now, and I am learning what it means to be a wise virgin with oil in my lamp. I am learning that loving oneself is not selfish. I am learning that doing what I love has great payoffs, spiritually, health-wise, and economically. And she closed her note with saying, I am so grateful. I am appreciative of your warm and highest thoughts. They bless me in more ways than you can ever think or imagine. Sending love and gratitude with peace and joy, Sarah. I think we can all take a lesson from this. We can have it be like a treasure hunt with ourselves and God. Remember those puzzles where the object is to find the hidden objects in the picture? I can never do that. Take this as a challenge. Then whatever the experience, find the gratitude in it and let the gratitude touch you and fill you. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of your lean. Count your kind deeds instead of your mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. The Lord said, I give you a new heart, and I put a new spirit within you. I removed from you your heart of stone, and I gave you a heart of flesh. Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? Just take a moment to get comfortable in your seat. And rest your feet comfortably on the floor. And place your hands in a comfortable position in your lap or at your side. And just relax. Be still. Quiet your mind. And let go of all that is outside this holy, peaceful place. Let go of all the worrisome thoughts, all the negativity, the anxiety, the jealousy. Let go of anything that is swirling around in your head, all of it. Be still. Be still and go within to the center of your being, where our Father waits and welcomes you with open arms, unconditional love, and an abundance of peace. There is but one truth, and that truth is that there is only one source and one substance. This one source and this substance is the Father and the Creator of all that is, all that was, and all that ever will be. This only source is ever in us, around us, and through us, all fulfilling our needs, our wants, and our desires. This source never changes, never falters, never fails to give his children good. This one source knows our needs, our wants, and our desires before we ask, and is ready to provide for us abundantly. Our Father wants us to be prosperous, to be happy, and to live fulfilled lives. He wants us to flourish with new life and new wonderful opportunities and possibilities. After all, he has given us his kingdom, which is the fullness of life. He has given us himself. God is the one and the only source. He is the source of life, the source of love, the source of prosperity. He is the strength and the wisdom. God, our Father, is the one and only source and substance of all that is. Let me be that point of light which shines so that I may be one of the channels through which his goodness, peace, his joy and love flows out into the world, so that they may begin to know that he is the source and the substance of all that is right and good and perfect. For the awareness of this understanding, O most gracious and loving Father, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you his kingdom. Amen.